Welcome to Religion for the Hell of It with Robert Anton Wilson. Here, Dr. Wilson takes a tongue-in-cheek look at an encyclopedia of international religions. As a self-described connoisseur of religions, Robert Anton Wilson is well qualified to conduct this examination of churches, cults, and faiths from around the world, from the obscure to the omnipresent. With wit and wisdom, he brings his own brand of off-the-wall intellectualism to this fascinating subject. Robert Anton Wilson is perhaps known best as the author of 23 books on subjects ranging from religion and psychology to paranormal phenomenon and science fiction. He's a former editor of Playboy magazine, who is an electrical engineer and psychologist by training. Presently living in the Los Angeles area, Dr. Wilson continues to lecture and write on a broad range of subjects related to popular culture and our destiny. And now Sounds True presents Religion for the Hell of It with Robert Anton Wilson.
In case some of you didn't get a copy of this, there were some public-spirited citizens outside who apparently have been reading some of my books, and, which is not something I recommend to public-spirited citizens. Public-spirited citizens should only read things that are easy for them to understand. Warning! The Bible warns against false teachers and false prophets. There shall not be found among you anyone who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and they shall be smitten. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, and they shall be smitten. The coming of the lawless one is according to the works of Satan, with all power signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth. And they shall put Hawaiian music in elevators, and they shall be smitten. And they will not put ketchup in a decent bottle, but in a silly piece of plastic. And they shall be smitten. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Therefore do not be partakers with them. They shall be smitten also. The Bible also tells us there is hope. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. That's hope. Oh, well. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Perdurabo, that was Crowley's magical name. I shall endure to the end. Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." No instructions on how to get back into the womb. Oh, well. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And if you can't believe that, you can believe in Spider-Man or the Incredible Hulk. Everybody can believe in something. You decide, it says. Okay, that's the warning. Close the doors before they all escape. I'm really very flattered. It's not often that a writer of philosophical comedy manages to arouse that kind of reaction. I personally never try to reason with fundamentalists. There's an old Irish proverb, don't try to teach a pig to sing. It will just waste your time and annoy the pig. The Ayatollah Khomeini says, he's written a commentary on the Quran, which is required reading in the schools in Iran now, and he says that if a man sodomizes camels habitually, this is regrettable, but it is not legitimate grounds for divorce, because Allah does not approve of divorce. However, the Ayatollah Khomeini's God does have his limits. His tolerance is not infinite. You can fornicate with all the camels you want, but the Ayatollah Khomeini's God does not approve of sodomizing your brother-in-law. According to the Ayatollah Khomeini, if you habitually sodomize your brother-in-law, that does give your wife grounds for divorce under Islamic law. And so if you're planning to move to Iran, keep that in mind. The camels are okay, but keep your hands off your brother-in-law or your wife can divorce you. I don't know how the Ayatollah Khomeini got this insight into what God is thinking. But the people who wrote this obviously also know what God is thinking, and God has a heart on for me, obviously. I can't imagine why. I've got nothing against God myself. Of course, if I had been around at the creation, I would have had a lot of helpful suggestions. I would have put the testicles inside the body, any man in the audience who got through high school will tell you, they're in a hell of a place. Any practical joker can get at them, right? Gotcha! You can't get through high school. I would have put them inside the body, protect us from all that kind of stuff. I would also have them protected by a layer of bone as thick as a Presbyterian skull. One can't be too safe. I would have arranged for all males to be born with vasectomies and acquire fertility only at the point at which they and some women think it's a good idea. Yeah, wouldn't that be a great idea? Well, science might do that. We're getting to the point of reversible vasectomy. There's a lot of research going on. But I don't know if the Ayatollah would approve of that. By the way, do you think the Ayatollah is a crazy old man or that he's really in contact with God? Anybody out there? As usual, a disagreement of opinion. Let me point out that the Pope also claims to be in touch with God, and he says there is no legitimate grounds for divorce whatsoever. According to the Catholic Church, the Pope is infallible, and the Pope says no divorce on any grounds. So it doesn't matter how many camels a man sodomizes, his wife can't divorce him. She might catch something even worse than AIDS. I mean, God knows what camels have. I don't even like to think about it. I'm pretty weird, but as far as my fantasy life goes, is chickens. Camels? Jesus. But apparently they have a lot of guys sodomizing camels in Iran, or the Ayatollah wouldn't have had to write that commentary. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many camels. You can bugger all the camels you want. Allah does not approve of divorce. Your wife is stuck with you. The Pope says she's stuck with you even if you sodomize your brother-in-law. The Pope goes even further than that. He says if you love your wife too much, that's as bad as adultery. Remember that? That was in the papers a short while ago. The Pope made that announcement. He knows all about marriage because he has lived in an all-male society all his life and he wears skirts. I don't quite understand men who like to wear skirts. I've got nothing against it. I'm a broad-minded man myself, as W.C. Fields said. I don't mind seven aces in the deck, but when I've only dealt three of them to you, I like to know how the hell you got four. But I don't mind guys going out and drag. But guys who habitually go out and drag and live in an all-male society and then make laws about how husbands and wives should relate to each other, I think they're going outside the area of their competence. If they made rules for the Castro in San Francisco, I'd say, okay, maybe they know what they're talking about. On the other hand, there's Andrea Dworkin. She, for years, has been proclaiming that sexual intercourse is terrible because it represents an exploitation of the woman by the man. You've heard that, haven't you? Andrea Dworkin. She's one of the leading spokes entities. I can't say spokesperson because that's human chauvinism. So I say spokes entity. She's one of the leading spokes entities for radical feminism, which has very little in common with mainstream feminism or common sense or anything like that. She has recently softened her position, so to speak. She's getting almost as liberal as the Pope. She says that sexual intercourse between men and women is not necessarily exploitative of the woman, as long as the man doesn't have an erection at the time. You think I'm making this up? I assure you. The Ayatollah exists, Andrea Dworkin exists, the Pope exists, and the people who wrote this exist. The world is full of people who know what's right for you and me. I don't know how they do it. I find it very hard to decide what's right for me, myself. I'm confused all the time, and yet there are these people who know what's right for every one of you. I don't know how they do it. But this is supposed to be a philosophical entertainment or a transformational entertainment or something like that. So it's time I got serious. Do you know that juries have the right to nullify the law? Very few people know that. Actually, that was what the Magna Carta was all about. The barons did not drag King John to Runnymede and put him on starvation rations and hold him prisoner and force him to sign that document just so that juries could ratify what the government has decided to do. The whole idea of Magna Carta was that juries could make up their own mind what laws they were willing to have imposed upon the English population. And this has been upheld repeatedly, as in the trial of William Penn in 1690, where William Penn was technically guilty of speaking in public. That was against the law at that time. If you had unpopular religious opinions, you couldn't speak in public. The jury refused to convict him, and the judge ordered the jury locked up until they would convict him. And the jury kept coming, being brought back to court every day from the Tower of London where they were locked up. And they said, we still find the defendant innocent, until it became the biggest controversy in London. And finally, the judge admitted the jury did have that right. The United States Supreme Court upheld that right, too, in the 1890s in a celebrated case. They ruled that the jury has the right to nullify the law, that the purpose of the jury system is that 12 people selected at random can speak for the whole community about what laws they want imposed on them. The Supreme Court also ruled that the judge doesn't have to tell that to the jury. Well, they're judges themselves. You know what a judge is? A judge is a law student who marks his own examination papers. Just like the Pope is a theology student who marks his own examination papers. The Pope was declared infallible by the Council of Cardinals. There's not one Catholic in a million who can tell you when the Council of Cardinals became infallible. If the Council of Cardinals is not infallible, they might have been wrong when they said the Pope was infallible. So to prove the Pope is infallible, you got to prove the Council of Cardinals is infallible. And to prove the Council of Cardinals is infallible, you got to prove the people who select the people who get on the Council of Cardinals is infallible. You turn into an infinite regress that way. It's the same thing with judges. Judges are not infallible. Infallible human beings have not been found yet, and you have the right to your own conscience. If you're ever called up for jury duty, you can decide for yourself. You don't have to follow the judge's instructions. Okay, that's the end of the serious part of the night. But just remember that if you're on a jury and somebody is charged with possession of some consciousness-altering substance. If you're in favor of people changing their consciousness, you don't have to believe it when the judge says he committed a crime, therefore you must find him guilty. You can judge by your own conscience. Another great part of the American legal tradition is the First Amendment, which says that Congress shall make no laws establishing a religion. This is known as the iron wall of separation between church and state, and it has been interpreted consistently to mean that the government can't interfere in religion, which means that everybody in this country has the right to practice whatever religion they like or not to practice any religion at all. And as a matter of fact, that was so clearly understood at the birth of the Republic. Am I getting serious again? That in the treaty with Tripoli in 1796, the treaty with Tripoli contained the words, "Since the United States is in no sense of the words a Christian nation," that actually appears in the treaty with Tripoli. That was written by John Adams, who was vice president. It was passed by the Senate, and it was signed by George Washington, who was president, with no dissenting voice. They all understood that the United States was not a Christian country. So when you hear people like Jerry Falwell or Ronald Reagan telling you this is a Christian country, they are not only insulting and denigrating all the Jews, Buddhists, Taoists, atheists, agnostics, Muslims, and other non-Christian Americans, but they are denying the whole constitutional tradition. This is not a Christian country. You have the right to your own religion. On a more solemn note, I would like to add a P.S. to that. Jerry Falwell can kiss my dick. The real meaning of the First Amendment didn't become evident until God sent down an angel to this planet who took the name of Kirby Hensley. Kirby Hensley is an illiterate, or so he claims. I sometimes think he's just a joker. He claims to be an illiterate, but he got a degree from a theological seminary. He claims by having his daughter answer the questions on the examinations for him. I don't know whether that's true or not. He could just be a joker, but he's a legitimate doctor of divinity and minister of the gospel, and he got his own revelation, which is that every person has the right, every entity has the right. I almost slipped into humanism again, didn't I? Every entity has the right to be a minister of a gospel. One can't say the gospel, because that's a rather bigoted and narrow-minded point of view. Every entity has the right to be a minister of a gospel, so Kirby Hensley will ordain anybody. He founded the Universal Life Church with the express purpose of ordaining everybody who wants to be a minister of the gospel. Have you all heard of the Universal Life Church? It's in Pasadena, and they don't charge. All you got to do is send in a letter and say you want to be ordained, and they'll make you a clergy entity. He has not only ordained hundreds of thousands of people, he has ordained dogs, cats, parrots, chimpanzees. If you want whatever your house pet is, even if it's only a goldfish, you can get your goldfish ordained. Just write to Kirby Hensley, Universal Life Church, Pasadena, and your goldfish will be a minister of a gospel. I think this is the greatest step forward in human liberty since Magna Carta itself. One of the people who got ordained by Kirby Hensley was the Archdruid of the Reformed Druids of North America. The Reformed Druids was formed at a college in Illinois back in the 50s. They had a requirement that every student had to attend some kind of religious service once a week. A lot of colleges used to have requirements like that. Some still do, I think. And so a group of students who objected to this rule announced that they were Druids and announced they held their religious services in the woods. So they all went out into the woods once a week. And then they got interested in Druidism, and they started doing research, and they gradually established the Reformed Druids of North America. They accepted as their sacrament the waters of life, which in Gaelic is Ishkabah, or something like that. I don't quite speak Gaelic very well. And the waters of life is Irish mist mixed with water. And it is a very groovy sacrament, especially in the more reformed of the Reformed Groves, because they're supplementing it with cannabis these days, which makes for an even higher sacrament. After a while, some of the Archdruids really became important Gaelic scholars after they got their degrees. One of the Archdruids wrote a book called Real Magic, and Isaac Bonwitz, I'm referring to. He was the first... Bonwitz fans? Yes. He was the first entity ever to graduate from the University of California with a degree in magic. And he is archdruid of his own druidic grove, and he's ordained by Kirby Hensley, too. I split off from the I was a member of the Reformed Druids for a while, but I got, I decided I couldn't accept their basic teaching, which is nature is good. So I formed the Reformed Non-Aristotelian Druids of North America, RNADNA. And our teaching is nature seems good. Now, that's because as non-Aristotelians, we don't like the Aristotelian is of identity. I don't know what anything is. I only know how things seem to me. When I hear people arguing about whether Beethoven is better than Mozart, or is Van Gogh a better painter than Picasso, or is Thomas Wolfe a better novelist than William Faulkner, I don't know what the hell they're talking about. All I can talk about is how Beethoven and Mozart seem to me, how Van Gogh and Picasso seem to me, how Thomas Wolfe and Faulkner seem to me. I don't know any is's. And so I formed